This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَتُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, that you believe in qadr, it's good and it's bad. And in the other narration, you believe in qadr, all of it. Sweet qadr and bitter qadr. Good and bad. That all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as I said, it's a conundrum. It's extremely intricate. It's very complex. It's a mystery. And our only explanation is that this is something which is beyond our understanding. It's beyond our capacity. Traditionally, goldsmiths used to have very fine, delicate scales on which they would put gold dust on the pans of these scales. Now, if you were to take that scale and place a boulder on it, what happens? It crushes it. Our minds may be truly astounding, but we are limited in our capacity, in our ability, in our senses. We are extremely limited. Our taste suffers if it's not accompanied by the sense of smell. That's how weak we are. Our taste suffers if it's not accompanied by the sense of smell. If our sense of smell is impaired, automatically our sense of taste is impaired. That's how weak we are. When it comes to intellectual strength and ability, even monkeys can outperform us in many tasks. Even when it's to do with numbers. Dolphins and orcas, killer whales, perform better than us when it comes to simple mental tasks. Some of them. So, although Allah has endowed us with an amazing mind, an amazing brain, and unbelievable intelligence, it's still extremely limited. As Allah says, do you know? We can't even understand what's in us. We have MRI scanners. We have mapped the human genome. We have explored, and we know the different areas of the mind, the brain. We know which parts of the brain control which functions and which senses. We've gone down to the microscopic level, the genetic level of DNA and RNA, and the information encoded in DNA and RNA. We know so much about all of these things. We've landed a man on the moon. Now please, once I said this and someone actually sent me a whole DVD saying, how dare you believe in such conspiracies? Okay. We're told, it's been narrated to us. It's been narrated to us that it's been narrated to us that man has landed on the moon. So we've explored the oceans, we've explored the planets, we've explored the moon. We've achieved all of these things. And we pride ourselves on our technological advancements, on our science, on our discoveries, on our knowledge. And despite all of this, we still don't know who we are. What distinguishes us from other animals? What grants us higher intelligence, higher emotion, a sense of purpose? Scientists still say that we are the only known species or living organism in the entire universe, despite its vastness, that actually sees itself, understands itself, to some degree knows itself, and is aware and conscious of itself. We are regularly told that this brain, this grey matter, is the most complex thing known to us in the entire universe. Despite all of that, we still don't know who we are, in the sense that what gives us life? What makes us human? What is that spirit? Some people call it the mind. Some people call mind as distinct from the brain. Some people call it the ego. Some people call it the superego. Some people call it the self. Some people call it the spirit. Some people call it by another name, being. Some people call it the essence. Whatever name you give it. All of these names in Arabic translate into one thing, the ruh. Despite all our knowledge and understanding, we don't know the ruh. And Allah says of that, وَيَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they ask you about the ruh, the spirit. Say to them that the ruh is a matter of my Lord, and you have not been given except very little knowledge. So we are limited in our capacity to understand. We can't understand ourselves. What happened at the beginning of the universe? What happened at the very beginning? How did it all come about? What's a correct belief? What's a correct theory? What's a correct version and explanation? Allah says in the Quran, مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَمَا كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذَ الْمُضِلِّينَ عَضُدًا. Allah says, I did not make them a witness unto the creation of the heavens and the earth, and nor a witness unto their own creation. And I am not one to take those who lead others into error as an assistant. What does that mean? We humans, who can't understand ourselves, who can't remember what we had for breakfast, who, despite knowing so much, don't know what's inside us, who don't know what makes us us, how can we purport to know what happened at the beginning of creation? How can we purport to know what will happen later? How can we purport to understand the mystery of Qadr? It's beyond our understanding. And in fact, some scientists, astrophysicists and others, even in science, not in a philosophical sense, but in a scientific, astrophysical sense, they speak of predeterminism and predestination, as though there is one unalterable path of time in the universe, that nothing can change it. And a perfect example of that is, imagine, retrospectively, in hindsight, we're always wiser. Oh, then I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have done that. I wish this would have happened. That would have happened. But do you know what? So many different forces of the universe, even from a scientific perspective, so many different forces of the universe, so many different factors, all came together to create those unique, peculiar circumstances in which something happened. Now, even if it was possible, and we were to turn back the clock, and we were to go back to how things were then, most likely, the same circumstances, the same forces, the same factors would all come together to replicate the exact same circumstances, leading to the same conclusion. Truthfully, we cannot understand Qadr. We don't understand it. And therefore we believe in it. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Qadr without truly being able to understand it. We believe in the ruh without being able to understand it. We believe in these things without being able to fully understand them. And the truth is, it makes sense. We have very little time. We have very little time. In our lives, we have a limited amount of energy, physical as well as mental, and emotional. And belief in Qadr is actually liberating. It truly is. It gives a person sense of peace, accepting how things are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. That no misfortune, no calamity befalls you, neither on earth or in yourselves, except that it is in the book before we cause it to come to pass. Indeed, this is easy for Allah. And then Allah says in the next verse, this is why? Why are you being told this? Why should you know this? Why should you accept this? In the next verse, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ, so that you may not regret that which has missed you. And so that you may not be exultant and arrogant over that which Allah has given you. Allah does not like every boastful, arrogant, swaggering person. In another surah, in Surah At-Taghabun, Allah says so beautifully, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. Allah بكل شيء عليم. Allah says, no calamity befalls you except by the command of Allah. And whoever believes in Allah, يهدي قلبه, Allah will guide his heart. And I like to take solace when I read that verse in knowing that if I believe in the qadr of Allah, Allah will guide my heart to solace, to comfort, to rest, to settlement, contentment. What other choice is there? Something's happened. How can you resist something that already is? How can you fight something that's already happened? How can you as one individual fight qadr? And if you don't believe in Allah, then looking at it from a scientific perspective, how can you as one feeble, humble individual fight the forces of the universe? You can't. The qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you believe in it, your heart will find peace and contentment. And this is one of the conditions of iman. When we say iman, in qadr, it's not just a mental belief, but an active belief of the heart. In the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that famous long hadith, but part of the hadith is, and that know, O child, O lad, that whatever was going to meet you was never going to miss you. And whatever was going to miss you was never going to meet you. That is part of iman. And there are many other hadith which speak of this, that a person cannot be a mu'min, a person cannot truly believe until he believes that what was going to befall him would never have missed him. And what was going to miss him was never going to meet him. And as they say in English, a miss is as good as a mile. Which means that sometimes you regret, I was that close. But do you know what? Whether it was a few millimeters away, or whether it's a mile away, it doesn't make a difference. It missed you. So a miss is as good as a mile. Why regret? So it's not again just a mental belief. It's not again just a mental belief, but rather an active belief of contentment of the heart and conviction of the mind. That is part of iman. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa tu'minu bil qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi," that you believe in qadr, it's good and it's bad.